What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, May 8th.
Oh, no.
May 8th. Can you believe it? Where is this year gone, ladies and gentlemen?
Almost halfway done.
It was that thing where I was in my head, I was like, March 8th, and I was like, that ain't right. Nah. It can't be May. It's May.
It is May,
it's gonna be May.
An eventful year so far. A really
year. It feels like we've lived quite a life in these first 5 months. Yeah,
it's good though. You know, I feel like sometimes there's years that feel long for reasons where like things aren't going well or like games aren't hitting right. That's definitely not the case this year.
Oh sure, yeah, no, we're breezing by because
it's like games are left and right every week. Something's happening.
Can't stop, man.
It's about to quadruple down in the next couple weeks.
Tim Geddes, you have had your last weekend where you will not have Tears of the Kingdom. How does that feel?
You know, it's stressful.
Yeah.
I thought a lot last night. I think I might get a new controller just for this.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
I want it to just feel like the first time I played Breath of the Wild. You know what
Such
I mean?
Such a weirdo.
You
know? Yeah.
No, just my pro controller like has seen some better days.
And sure.
I have a couple of them.
Sure.
But I'm usually the one that, since we very rarely play Switch games here, I'm the one that has to bring the controllers when we like do the multiplayer stuff.
The Nick's got them all sticky.
It's just, they get all fucked up.
Yeah.
Like the travel and the Nick. Yeah. So. Yeah, I think I'm excited for this, though.
Okay.
It's a big moment for me.
It is a big moment for you. It's a big moment for video games. I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
How was your weekend?
It was good. You know, a lot of good family time, a lot of quality time out there. You know, it's weird to have a dog that is a dog.
Mm.
You know, Portillo, as we often said, is more of a person than a dog.
Yeah, an old
person. So, you know, Cole being a good dog, like, you know what I mean? And, like, we took him to the beach, and it was the first time we let him off leash and really see what's up. And this dog stuck to Benny, stuck to us, you know what I mean? Like, he'd run off and play with other dogs. He was running around.
That's
Portie hadn't run in a better part of a decade, and this dog's out there sprinting it up, having a great time.
Ears flopping around.
Exactly.
I love it. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Jen made some amazing pizza last night. I grilled a bunch. We had a little fun time. Played a lot of Horizon. Burning Shores, of course, beat the campaign. Horizon Burning Shores, spoiler cast, this week's PS I Love You, XOXO. Recording tomorrow, so if you want to join us live, patreon.com/kindoffunnytowatchlive, and be part of the chat to be part of the show. Of course, you could write it for free at kindoffunny.com/PSILY. I appreciate a good Monday Games Daily.
Yeah.
Because it's nice to remember what it's like to be dialed in. You know what I mean? I got it. I feel like when you get to Friday, that's when I'm just like, that's something. And you get it on the thing. And then, granted, Monday, couldn't remember what month we were in. But still, overall, feeling pretty good.
We got a lot to talk about today, Greg. I'm excited about that.
Well, first off, let's start with the outfit. There is a color palette you're working with, and
Pink
I appreciate
boy,
it.
Purple boy.
Yeah. And the shoes are up there, too. They're purple, too. Looks like you stomped Grimace's head in. I love it, you know?
Yeah. What's going on?
Remember Grimace?
I'll never forget Grimace.
I wish that.
The burglar's back.
Yeah.
Saw him in commercials.
Yeah, they changed the burgers or something.
Here's the burgers.
Something happened with McDonald's.
They changed McDonald's burgers?
Yeah. They
no.
had like a whole like update.
No.
I'll try. I don't know. I've just seen. I constantly see the TikTok.
There oh my God. This
were,
is.
There were patch notes.
I said there was good news today, Greg. This is horrible.
I mean, this could be great.
Oh no, my. It can't.
We go to delish.com. Daniel Harling, who published on April 21st, McDonald's changed its burgers and the internet is freaking out. A few days ago, McDonald's announced that it would be rolling out big changes to a number of its classic burgers. Among the burgers getting a taste-enhancing makeover are the Big Mac, McDouble, Classic Cheeseburger, Double Cheeseburger, and Hamburger. For now, the changes have only been implemented at McDonald's locations in select cities. LA, Seattle, Denver, San Francisco, Las Vegas, Salt Lake City, Tucson, Portland, Oregon, and Sacramento. Now the customers have had a chance to quite literally digest the news. They're sounding off on social media with their thoughts. One of the new changes McDonald's is starting to roll out is adding white onions to the burger patties while they're still on the grill to enhance the flavor. One user on Twitter pointed out a potential downside to this particular new change. According to them, they're no longer able to order the burger without onions. In response, the official McDonald's account said, "You can always choose to customize your order to suit your needs, but a number of people are still concerned with the griddled onions."
I'm pretty concerned, Greg. Like, this is alarming news.
We got to go deeper because this is the reaction to it. Now, okay. We're still on Delish. This is still Danielle. Here's the article about it. Among the changes customers can expect are softer, more pillowy buns, perfectly melted cheese, a better sear on the patty, and more Big Mac sauce.
I don't need more sauce.
The tweaks also consist of adding white onions to the burger patties while they're still on the grill to enhance the flavor. Quote, I'll always remember my first burger from McDonald's, and now my culinary team and I have the best job in the world, thinking about ways to bring even more of that iconic McDonald's taste to fans, said Chef Chad Schaefer, Senior Director of Culinary Innovation, McDonald's USA, in a statement. We found that small changes like tweaking our process to get a hotter, meltier cheese and adjusting our grill settings for a better sear added up to a big difference in making our burgers more flavorful than ever.
See, the problem here is like this, we're not talking about Burger King. We're not talking about Wendy's. We're talking about McDonald's.
Sure.
We don't need to fix these burgers.
Sure. I think this is something we've always complimented McDonald's on, is that if I eat at McDonald's here, Chicago, Tokyo, it's going to taste
like
McDonald's.
It's going to taste like that. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm hoping, like, all the changes don't sound like they're going to affect the flavor profile too much. But, hey, don't mess with perfection, man.
I agree. But now I'm going to think about In-N-Out. I'm probably going to get In-N-Out for lunch. You know? That's how it is.
That's how it is.
Why? What, you want me to go try this new burger? I don't want to do that. I mean, first off, it's still going to taste like a McDonald's cheeseburger.
You think so?
Yeah.
I hope so.
We'll never know. But what we do know, ladies and gentlemen, that there are rumors about Konami games at the PlayStation Showcase and the fact they might be PlayStation exclusive, PlayStation shutting down Pixel Opus, and more, not all about PlayStation news, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show by writing in for free at kindoffunny.com/KFGD about the news of the day, your concerns, your squad up requests, and so much more. Then watch us record it live for free on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, just like Cambosa, Sphinx Jer, and of course, the Celtic Queen, Megan Sullivan, are. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. And of course, listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Remember, the best way to get the show is over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. On patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can get each and every episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily ad-free. You can get a bevy of bonus content, dozens of exclusive episodes each and every month. You can get exclusive merch. You can watch us record our other podcasts, like the Kind of Funny podcast, this afternoon, live as we record them. Be part of that thing. Become characters, like the Hagglers.
Hagglers.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Hagglers hagging it up each and every Kind of Funny podcast. Having a great time. Am I on the edge of their bed? Maybe. Are they brother and sister? Nobody knows. You got to watch live to find out. You know what I mean, Tim?
They're
pregnant
husband and wife, Greg.
I'm just saying, until Cody unprivates his Instagram, I don't know. These are inside references of the Kind of Funny podcast. We have a lot of fun over there with you if you're watching live. Of course, the other way to support us is to use the Epic Creator Code, Kind of Funny, when you're checking out of the Epic Game Store or when you're on your console playing Fortnite, Rocket League, or anything else where you can input that Epic Creator Code, Kind of Funny. Housekeeping for you. MCU in review for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is up right now on youtube.com/kindoffunny and in review podcast feeds.
In review is about to pop off. I keep saying this, man, but it pretty much starts here if it hasn't already. Everyone should subscribe to the in review podcast feeds, youtube.com/kindoffunny, because pretty much there's a new movie coming out every couple weeks, and we're going to be doing the rewatches of the appropriate titles leading in. Next week, we're doing Fast 5 leading into Fast 10, which I'm really excited about.
Why just Fast 5?
Because the timing works out that way, because we're so back-to-back with movies. And also, we were going to do 9, which we've never rewatched, but after seeing all the trailers for 10, it's like, it's based on the story of 5.
Gotcha.
And so it's like, I feel like that'd be the most fun. And there's the historical relevance at Kind of Funny of Nick Scarpino famously shitting the bed, giving his worst performance of all time on the Fast 5 in review. And he wants to see if he's going to remedy that. Jury's still out, though. We'll have to see. It's Nick.
So wait and find out, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, be subscribed to that In Review podcast feed. And, of course, youtube.com/kindoffunny. Of course, if you've been watching this show lately, you know we've been doing 30-minute post shows where Snowbike Mike comes in and reads your YouTube super chats. You can only get them on the YouTube version or the stream. So come on and hang out and watch us answer your questions. We'll be doing it today, just like we do every weekday nowadays. Over on Patreon, a new episode of the Kind of Funny Next Gen, or the KF Next Gen podcast, is up, where Roger and Bless are joined by Joey and the show's biggest fan. Which is offensive to me as the show's biggest fan, but I am not the person who joins them, and that's heartbreaking.
That's arguable.
It isn't, Barrett. It isn't.
It is.
Thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today, we're brought to you by Shady Rays. We'll tell you about that later.
Cool?
Huh?
You want to look as cool as me? Good.
With Shady Rays. We said we'll talk about that later.
I know.
For now,
we're giving people a tease.
Let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
We open at the rumor mill where Zarmina Khan over at PlayStation Lifestyle writes, Metal Gear Solid 3 Remake and more rumored to be PlayStation 5 exclusive. Reports have surfaced that Sony Interactive Entertainment has struck an exclusivity deal with Konami for the rumored Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater Remake, Silent Hill Games, and a new Castlevania. Silent Hill 2 Remake has already been confirmed as a limited-time PlayStation console exclusive, and Metal Gear Solid has been rumored to be the same. However, this is the first we've heard about a new Castlevania release potentially being a PlayStation 5 console exclusive. The latest report comes from Windows Central's Jez Corden and has been partially collaborated by Video Games Chronicle's Andy Robinson. We go to Twitter, where Jez writes in responding to, is this what Bluepoint is working on? Jez responds, not sure on that. Just heard Sony landed a deal with Konami for Silent Hill, Metal Gear, and maybe even a new Castlevania. Andy Robinson then, of course, tweets, I also heard a Sony showcase is happening in the usual late May / early June window with Konami stuff included. I'm not expecting Nintendo to do anything. Obviously, that's from a different conversation they're having. Back to the article. Much like Silent Hill, rumors about Metal Gear Solid 3 Remake have been swirling for a number of years, but Konami has yet to officially confirm anything. However, the company has previously expressed its desire to breathe new life into its beloved franchises. In the case of Silent Hill, Konami announced multiple new projects in collaboration with external partners. Before E3 2023 was canceled, rest in peace, it was reported that Konami would unveil a new Castlevania game as well as Metal Gear Solid 3 Remake at the event. Now the games are expected to be showcased at an upcoming PlayStation event by the end of May or early June. Timothy Robert Geddes, do you believe?
I do believe, Greg. Get fucking hyped, son. This is one of those rumors that have been circulating for so long that it's either 1,000% true or we've all just talked
complete
each other
bullshit
to death and completely just like heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody who now it's true.
And it all
Star
goes back
Fox
to Jeff
Grand
Grubb.
Prix. Yeah. Jeff Grubb's always involved. But no, when Jeff Grubb's involved, it ends up happening at some point,
okay,
right?
Okay.
For the most part. But I think that this is happening. On top of that, I think that it would be silly to think it's not happening at this point where PlayStation has just been absolutely dominant with its showcases. I keep saying this the last couple weeks. You look back to their PlayStation 5 showcases. They are some of the best showcases in video game history, period. The only things you can put up there to compete with them are some of the absolute greatest, typically, PlayStation E3 press conferences of all time.
Sure.
But even then, if you were going to go tit for tat and compare those to what we got in the last couple showcases, I think that the showcases come out on top in terms of announcements and in terms of what we did not know, surprises and all that stuff. I think the pomp and circumstance of some of the E3s and the genuine surprise of, oh my God, we're getting Final Fantasy VII Remake, that type of stuff, of course, is unrivaled.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have breaking news from the mountaintop. Jeff Grubb has graced us with this tweet. Jeff Grubb's Summer Game Mass has an update. That timing on PlayStation Showcase is right as of now. His little tweet here and his little Slack message he screen capped because he's a weirdo like Blessing says week of May 25th, PlayStation Showcase, ladies and gentlemen.
Love it.
Jeff Grubb is saying that the PlayStation Showcase that's being referenced and rumored in this very article, but is also unrelated to what he's tweeting maybe, is the week of the 25th.
Yeah, I mean, that adds up. You know, everyone's been saying late May. We are already a quarter through May, so it's going to be announced at some point soon.
Yeah,
you'd imagine. I think this event's happening, right?
Yeah,
we've talked about 100%. It for so long. What's PlayStation up to?
That's the biggest thing. If I can jump in,
please do.
Just to give more context and color to it. Yesterday I looked over the Kind of Funny subreddit, and there was a thread there like, "Hey, does anybody else think the XCast is turning into a better show than PS I Love You XOXO?" And it was me, of course, reading this with my cigar and $100 bill, just laughing because I own both of them. What do I fucking care what's better? But it was a funny thing of like, obviously, all the flowers to Paris, Gary, and Mike for their amazing Phil Spencer episode.
I want to interrupt you real quick. 265,000 views as of this morning. 3,000 new subscribers. Welcome new people. If anybody's watching this show, it's a great show. Happens every single day, weekdays. You know what's up.
Yeah, please like and subscribe, share. We curse a lot more on this show than they do on theirs. But it was that thing of I read through the comments, right? Because nobody was like, oh yeah, PS I Love You sucks and Janet and Greg suck. And it was like, no, like we like all them. What kept coming up is like, yeah, but it's like barren for all PlayStation news right now. We don't know anything beyond Spider-Man, right? And it's that idea of like, oh yeah, I mean, like, we know that, but I haven't talked about it, I feel, because we talk about everything in the industry so much, right? And like, you know, obviously Pixel Opus, and there's a million other things happening in the news every day. But the idea of like, man, You and me, Tim, stick with me. We're about to take a turn, but it'll get back. We're going to get right. You and me orgasm all the time, right? It's just part of our DNA at this point, literally. I feel like what we're getting with PlayStation is tantric sex, right? We are edging. We are getting closer and closer to really having the pah, you know what I mean? And I feel like we are just building up the anticipation, and that's what this showcase is going to be.
See, I see it a little bit differently. I see it more as like we've been just experimenting a little bit. You know, PSVR 2, it's kind of like pegging, you know? You want to try. It's not for everybody. But the people that like it really fucking like it. And they're going to get weird in the comments.
I feel like people talk about pegging more than they talk about PlayStation VR 2. Hey, PlayStation VR 2 is something even lower, not on the bad scale, the less talked about, the less popular scale of sexual awakenings, I guess.
Rod, but I put it on the poll. What gets talked about more, pegging or PSVR 2?
Definitely.
Either way, I mean, PlayStation has had a lot going on. It's just not the kind of mainline prestige titles that we're used to 100%. For them, which is kind of the
stuff,
point that I'm making, which was like, this started back in 2000. Like, PlayStation 4, obviously, we've talked about a million times of like how dominant that kind of run was. But you look back to E3 2016, I want to say it was. It might have been 15. That they did the. It was 15 that they did the Final Fantasy VII and Last Guardian and Shenmue announcements. Right? Yeah. That was insane. That was just so exciting. But then you like think about that now with where we're at. It's like cool. Final Fantasy VII remake. Shenmue kind of came and went. Last Guardian hit for some people, but it did not hit the way.
Just
like
bless
it wasn't Shadow of the Colossus. You know what I mean? Yeah, by any means, any stretch of the imagination. And even then, Shadow of the Colossus is, I think, more a revered. It was more cult classic than it is like a God of War. You know what I mean? 100%. I think over time, it's getting the respect that it deserves. But year after year, to see Sony kind of like crush these announcements and then deliver the goods, our expectations are at an all-time high. And this has been the longest drought we've had of announcements because we have seen them. Spider-Man 2 is like the thing on the horizon because we've now gotten Horizon. We've gotten the DLC. We've gotten all this stuff. So we have such high expectations because they've delivered for so long. And they're clearly holding back right now, and they're ready to unleash so we can orgasm once again, Greg.
And I think that's exactly what we're building up to. And I think that's why this showcase gets to be so exciting. And you talk about, you know, in the shadow of the landmark XCast with Phil Spencer and the talk about Redfall.
The shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, you didn't need to do that.
To do it.
You did. You talk about that, though, of like expectations and managing stuff, and then even this conversation about XCast versus PS I Love You, right? And the fact that PlayStation is just not on autopilot, but it is on autopilot. Autopilot gets a negative rap. PlayStation is just doing PlayStation. They're just fucking doing what they do, and that is just moving consoles and units and making people happy and doing all these things to where Xbox is getting all this shit for all this other stuff, and PlayStation is getting the shit of, oh, tell us more, tell us more, tell us more, tell us more. Whereas Xbox is getting, where are the fucking games? You owe us fucking games, right? Whereas PlayStation's delivered with their titles this year. And this isn't me trying to do a fanboy character or anything. It's legit what we talk about in the difference of these consoles. And so, to be on the precipice, you figure, at the end of this month, if Jeff Grubb is correct, which is outrageous to say, of there's going to be a PlayStation showcase that will be, of course, here's Spider-Man 2, and you assume maybe the release date, right?
Release date. It's happening, Greg.
You know how they do it, though. It'll probably be they'll show more shit, and then on the blog, it'll say the release date for some reason.
Yeah,
but then on top of that, of like what is, as you've talked about, and I think coined, honestly, in the industry, phase two of the PS5, and what is Sucker Punch's next game, and are we going to see factions from Naughty Dog, and what is this, you know, you go down, 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 down like that. And then alone, if you're then going to incorporate, hey, also, Metal Gear Solid 3 Remake is fucking real, and we have an exclusive on it.
Dude, I mean, look, for years, we've talked on shows, whether it was here or IGN, and it's always the same conversations of, like, the fantasy draft, or fantasy booking of the of showcases and E3s and press conferences of like, what do we want to see? What do we wish they would do? What do they need to do to have the best showcase ever this year? And it's using the information we have of what developers have put out games recently, who haven't, what franchises haven't had a sequel in a while. Like, there's all these things we can kind of play with, right? And I think that is where PlayStation showcases themselves have succeeded the most in with rare exception. I think Nintendo Directs every once in a while have done it, but it's been very, 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 very rare over the years. It's this perfect storm of like, they answer all the questions we have. Maybe not all of them, but more than any of us would have bet they would in one show, like getting Ratchet and Clank, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon, Spider-Man, God of War, Ragnarok, like all of these things where it's like, that sounds like a dream showcase. And like what I just named was kind of between two showcases.
Of course.
But still then, Final Fantasy 16, like there's so many of these games, third party or more importantly, first party, or the kind of like thing that we're about to talk about here, where it is the Final Fantasy 16s of the world, where it's third party, the biggest third party games fucking imaginable, and now they're exclusive to PlayStation 5. Final Fantasy, Metal Gear Solid, Castlevania, and it's just like, dude, holy shit, exclusive on the PlayStation side. And all
which is great for PlayStation fans, and fucking a raw deal for Xbox as they continue to still not have the first party lineup delivering AAA amazing 10 out of 10s.
But that leads us to looking into what this PlayStation showcase is going to be, and we expect it to be Spider-Man 2, obviously, but then also have what's Sucker Punch working on, you know? What are we going to get from Konami here? What is Blue Point working on? I expect we're going to get answers to these questions, and that expectation is exciting as hell.
Money on the table. It's just not even a real pizza bet. But Barrett, you're welcome to write it down for pizza bet. I don't think we'll see Sucker Punch. I think we're dreaming too. Unless it was at the end, the, you know, Jin Sakai samurai sword in the beach, and he yanks it out, and it's like poof, Ghost of Tsushima 17. Whatever.
Sorry, my point is, we're not going to get all of those things.
Oh, sure.
But
what
I'm saying is,
you can expect them.
We can expect
right
10 big things, and we're going to get probably 5 of them.
Yeah,
that's not how showcases normally work for anyone else. It does work like that for PlayStation showcases because they've proven that time and time again now. And with where we're at right now, moving into phase two, I don't think there's ever been a more exciting time for a PlayStation showcase, in my opinion. I think that they have the opportunity to announce so many amazing things that we're going to get from this year on, but then also get some of those new unicorns. What's the end of the PS5's life cycle look like? Is the end anytime soon? Or is it going to be an extended cycle because of the pandemic and everything? I don't know, but there are so many open questions here that I think we're about to get some incredible answers.
Do you think that, are you dreaming big enough of this showcase that we're talking about the iterative PlayStation 5 hardware, the Pro, the remote play device, any of that stuff?
Why not? I don't think so, yeah. But like, I do think that it's not out of the realm of possibility. Like, I just think that they're just crushing right now, and they have all of the tools and all the paints, all the beautiful colors to paint a beautiful painting, Greg. Yeah. A painting that we're all going to want to fucking get, and we're all going to enjoy. And like, some people might look at it and be like, they didn't have the thing I wanted. But it's like, PlayStation fans are going to be happy with this showcase. Like,
If
they're not, this is going to be a huge fuck up, right?
Yeah.
A huge fuck up of momentum. I just don't see that happening.
Spartan says, how come PlayStation gets praised for exclusivity deals while meanwhile Xbox is harassed constantly for it? To which I would jump to mainly console wars. And people being angry about their platform doing something or not doing something. Yeah. I don't think these shows harass Xbox for their exclusivity. I can't, you know what I mean? I think when we talk about Blizzard and Activision, you talk about Bethesda. I can't remember ever being like, this fucking sucks. They're terrible for this. And meanwhile, the flip of the coin. General temperature check on the internet, that's a different conversation of what's happening.
I think it's always a very nuanced conversation that is hard to have, whether it's on a show like this that is quote unquote professional, or just that you're having with your friends, or just
but after
on the
pegging debate.
Exactly. But with all of it, I feel like the exclusivity conversation, it's multifaceted, and there's not right and wrong, but there is, I do think there's right and wrong in terms of like concept and idea. In a perfect world, everyone's able to play any video game they want. Every creator's able to make whatever game they want. Those games are going to be funded the way that sure. They need to be. Everyone's happy, but that's just not where the reality we live in. So then there's the other side where there's people that are in extreme privileged positions that are able to have every console. And if it was up to me, as somebody that has all those things, every game would be exclusive to a console because to me, that makes it more fun. And there's a higher chance that game's going to fucking run in 2023.
Ding, 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 ding. There's the more exciting thing. And I'm not out here just like, I don't know. But like, yes, if it's exclusive to a platform and PC, guess what? It's going to run great on the console, and there'll be some fucking problems on the PC, but those people deserve it. Like, that is 100% the upside to the exclusivity part of it, let alone the usual thing we talk about all the time if we want to go into it, of exclusivity deals come with a big fucking paycheck, which means, hey, it was worth us doing this game, making this thing happen, regardless of how it sells or what it does. Try not to sneeze through this conversation. That is the realities of business. And so, again, yeah, I saw somebody else call it out, so it's not a point. There is a huge difference to PlayStation signing a year-long exclusivity deal, I'm guessing, with Konami for Metal Gear Solid 3 versus Xbox buying Bethesda, buying Activision Blizzard, right? That is a different thing in there. It's the way games continue to be funded and move around and do stuff. I think if you're an Xbox fan, it is another continue to like, what the fuck? Because, of course, all the acquisitions and then anything that's come out of them so far, and I'm painting with a broad brush, but stick with me, for Xbox haven't been the God of War Ragnarok's game of the year, Horizon Forbidden West, 5 out of 5 for us and many other people, 4 out of 5 for some, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're talking about the fact that Xbox fans are continuing to wait for the dominoes to fall and have these things and yada yada. So if you keep seeing cool games go over there and be exclusive, Final Fantasy 16, then it is a more rough situation. But again, what you have is two companies, and you can include Nintendo in this conversation before we're having right now, two companies, right, that are continuing to try to deliver for their fan bases. They are trying to, of course, make money and profit, you know, get their shareholders profits and do these different things. But they're also trying to be the best platform, the best place to play. And they have very different strategies for that when we talk about it. But PlayStation continues right now to kill it on the first party side and then also come out and be like, all right, cool, we're going to make these partnerships that we know our fans want.
Yeah, and their fans do want them because there's lineage tied to PlayStation with all these franchises we're talking about dating back to PS1. All these Konami games, Final Fantasy, like all of that, like it makes sense. And for them to now be at their best with the PlayStation 5 and like have the PlayStation Studios power to be able to like support and help that we've seen and talked about so many times of the accessibility options and all of that. And just like they are making games better across the board for everybody. And I think that they are sharing that with their third party partners here as well, which results in better games that run great. So far, that's been the case. There could definitely come a time. I expect there will come a time that there is a dud or that there is something that does not live up to what we expect it to. But the run that we've had so far on PS5, that has not been the case. So all of that leads me to be extremely excited for whatever the showcase is going to bring us. And now let's transition to talking about the Konami side of this, Greg.
Sure.
Metal Gear Solid 3. It's happened. It's been talked about for a long time. Not necessarily the one I would want remake. I would love to start with Metal Gear Solid. Bear, can you bring up the tweet that I sent you? I was looking at Twitter today at the news about this, and I was just kind of scrolling, and one of the responses, somebody posted this fan art, and it got me going, Greg.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, can you fucking imagine how incredibly dope this would be? Look, this image gives me chills. And this is coming off of Resident Evil 4 remake, Dead Space remake, Final Fantasy 7, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. This could be real, and it could be as good as we all expect it to, even if Kojima has nothing to do with it. And I think that's the craziest thing to say.
We'll get back to this. Open up the Sum 41 tweet. Sum 41 is disbanding? Sum 41 will be disbanding. This will be we will still be finishing all of our... oh, my goodness. Thank you for the last 27 years of Sum 41. I never thought I'd see the day. Now, granted, I have not listened to them since that big album that broke out, obviously, with Fat
All
Lip,
Killer, No Filler.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw them at a Subway in Columbia, Missouri.
Oh, shit.
It was the mall, but whatever. Damn. Rest in peace, Sum 41. Since,
when Brown Sound left the first time, I think that's when they lost their touch a little bit. So sure. It's been more than time. Underclass Hero is a solid album, but that was like, all right, they should probably have wrapped it up back in 2007.
Fair enough. Back to the Metal Gear Solid image there. Yeah, this is, you know, I love Metal Gear Solid. And I know that I already lived a dream with the GameCube and Twin Snakes. Woo. You know what I mean? Hey, I got to see it as realistic as it could possibly be. Mm-hmm. I would also really love to see a PlayStation 5 Metal Gear Solid. We start from the ground up and go there. Metal Gear Solid 3, honestly, one of my least favorite. We're talking about amazing, great games. Yes. I'm not saying it's a 1 out of 5.
Debatably the best story. I would even go as far as saying, in my opinion, it's not a
game. Love Bloom on the battlefield. But yeah, I'm like, okay. I'm always a Solid Snake man, but I like Big Boss. Come on now. Give me some Peace Walker out there. You know,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
I digress. I'm going to be happy no matter what. Some jerk-ass in the YouTube chat earlier said that Metal Gear Solid was a mid-franchise, and you're lucky that it went too fast and I couldn't get you banned, because I would have banned your ass for that.
Yeah.
On YouTube or Twitch?
YouTube.
Okay. I'll find them.
Thank you. Get them, Barrett.
But either way, I'm excited for this. Being somebody that sounds like we're like-minded on this, where 3's not my favorite, give it another chance to shine. I think that, like, especially with the modern understandings of where that story could fit into what's going on currently, I think that's a really exciting premise to go back to in a way that we've seen with so many amazing remakes the last couple of years. So this, I do think, if it happens, which I expect that it will, could then lead to the rest of the games being remade, and maybe they just release them in chronological order of the story, which could be interesting. Just like a different way to look at it.
Really quick, Greg, it was Side of Fries, and they said Metal Gear is a mid game. The first Metal Gear. Do they still get a timeout?
But did they mean that, or were they just like, did he say Metal Gear on the NES or the MGS, whatever?
Feel like they would have said Metal Gear Solid.
Metal
Gear to me.
Side of Fries, we need you to confirm if you think Metal Gear Solid is a mid franchise or Metal Gear is a mid game or whatever. Because that will then decide your fate on what we're going to do to you here in the chat as we wait for this as we see it goes.
But the big question for me is Blue Point working on this or not? You know, and the thing that let me go off for one second.
Please go off, King.
Because here we are, we have Konami talking about Silent Hill, Metal Gear, and maybe even a new Castlevania. We already know about Silent Hill, right? Mm-hmm. Silent Hill, the rumors were true. Yep. Silent Hill 2 remake is happening. And who's it being worked on by? Right?
Yeah.
Bloober Team, right? Am I right on that?
Yes.
So yeah, they are partnering with other people.
Yeah.
The president there of for a Sony timed exclusive, partnering with Sony in some way there. They are partnering with a different team to make a remake of one of their games. They totally could be doing that with Bluepoint.
Sure, but two different wrinkles to that. Number one, Bluepoint has said before it's an original thing, and there's been like, what does that actually mean? And two, the rumor's always been that Virtuous Studios was working on Metal Gear Solid 3.
That's right.
Now, again, this is all rumor and conjecture, exactly. So it doesn't eliminate your point, but I want to make sure we're bringing in our references and our little footnotes off Wikipedia.
So that is a good point. So let's break that down a little bit. Where we have, that's potentially even more exciting in some ways, where Virtual Studios, do we know that? Is that even a thing, or is that just kind of like, it's new?
I think that was often the rumor. I forget if they ever, like, hey, we're Virtual Studios.
Virtual Mission, all that stuff. So I'm like, all right, here we go.
People are correcting Bluepoint original content, not IP. Correct.
Exactly. And all these words, I'm like, we'll see. I can't wait to see what Bluepoint actually fucking announces they're working on and how they're like, oh, yeah, well, that's what we meant here, you know?
When you said that I see, that has to be at the showcase. And that of course means it won't be, but I feel like it has to be of like, you acquired them. We haven't heard from them in so long. Like
their last thing was Demon's Souls, which was fucking incredible as a launch title on PS5. The timing is right for so much fun, Greg. It's going to be so good.
Sure.
And then, so that's my thing is, I guess in a perfect world, in a Tim Getty's perfect world with Metal Gear Solid 3, it is Virtua Studios. It's not Bluepoint. Virtual Studios is fucking awesome too. And we have a new awesome remake team. And then they do that. And then Bluepoint does something else that's also fucking awesome because they've proven themselves at this point. I mean, Bloodborne is I definitely think, one of the more...
Andy will die.
He definitely will. That is one of the more popular hypothesis of what they could be working on.
Sure.
What was another one that was heavily, heavily, heavily rumored alongside Silent Hill and Metal Gear? Castlevania. Bluepoint making some a new Castlevania by Bluepoint. I wouldn't be surprised. I think that is the type of thing that, like, they've proven themselves. They understand game design very well.
100%.
When you look back even to their more remastery type things, the Nathan Drake collection, right? Nailed it. Then you move on to the rest of the remakes they've done. Shadow of the Colossus was fucking phenomenal.
Sure.
And then, of course, Demon's Souls. So, exciting time.
It's a very exciting time, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be covering it each and every day here on Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, of course, Jeff Grubb says this is happening the final week of May, May 25th, the week of May 25th. Mark your calendars. If that's true, by the week before, we'll hear something. But we'll have to be excited. We have to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody get
any
prepared.
Moment. Everything will change.
The easiest way to be prepared for all of Kinda Funny's content is to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can toss us a few bucks and say, hey, you guys are doing a good job. I believe in the mission, and I want to keep all 11 of you employed. Of course, you could also get each and every episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily ad-free over there. But since you're not there, here's a word from our sponsors.
Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Do you want to look as cool as I look? Yes, you do. And you can. You can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an unbeatable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I've ever worn in my life. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Exclusively for you listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to shadyrays.com and use the code KINDOFFUNNY. You can get 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Promo code KINDOFFUNNY at shadyrays.com.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Number two on the Roper Report. Sony is shutting down the Concrete Genie Studio Pixel Opus. This is Chris Scullion in at VGC. Hello. Sony Studio Pixel Opus has announced that it will be closing down. In a tweet posted on Friday, the California-based studio wrote, "Dear friends, our Pixel Opus adventure has come to an end. As we look to new futures, we wanted to say a heartfelt thank you to the millions of passionate players who have supported us and our mission to make beautiful, imaginative games with heart. We are so grateful," end quote. The studio was founded in 2014 and launched its first game, Entwined, later that year. The game was announced as a surprise during Sony's E3 conference and was made available the same day. This was a big deal back then. Mm-hmm. This was a huge fucking deal.
Oh, yeah.
Here it is, and it's out now. This was followed up by the painting-based adventure game, Concrete Genie, in 2019, which was nominated for numerous awards, including two BAFTA Game Awards. It was announced in June 2021 that Pixel Opus's third game was going to be a PS5 title developed in collaboration with Sony Pictures Animation. Not clear if this project is still active. Speaking of the studio's closure, Pixel Opus's senior environment artist Bob Archibald tweeted, quote, "I like to think that with Concrete Genie, we made the world an ever so slightly better place. And not too many games these days have the chance to try and do that. I will always be grateful for my time building imaginative worlds with this incredible team." In a statement to IGN, Sony said, quote, "PlayStation Studios regularly evaluates its portfolio and the status of studio projects to ensure they meet the organization's short and long-term strategic objectives. As part of a recent review process, it has been decided that Pixel Opus will close on June 2nd.
It's an absolute bummer, man. Like, there's very few of these talented dev teams that get to work on things that are a little smaller titles for the big guys, and I feel like they're getting like fewer and fewer as time goes on because of everything we just talked about in the last story, right? All the exciting things. Like, we're not talking about Pixel Opus's next game, right?
I was, but yes.
But what I'm saying is, it's like those are the things that, yes, the PS I Love You crowd, like, are when they're predicting the what's going to be in the showcase. Guy. But that's like, that's you trying to figure out what's actually going to be there, sure. Right? That's not the top of mind thing that people are like hoping and expected to be there. And then I feel like that follows through. And that makes sense when it comes to how many people are looking forward to these games, purchasing these games, sure, playing these games. But there's value to these games despite all of that. I think that this is not too big of a surprise. I think that we look at PlayStation Studios and we look at other teams like Media Molecule and wonder, with all the news that's been going on recently, what's happening there? Sure. Are they doomed to a similar fate sometime soon? And that's sad, you know, but I also think that so much of this is just kind of the way things are moving, and it's not surprising, unfortunately. And I think a lot of that has to do with how the games industry has kind of verticalized indie games versus AAA games versus what a first-party game means versus what partnerships can look like. And just kind of like, hey, we're going to fund other things. We don't need to necessarily own this. We don't need to be running an entire team for these smaller experimental titles because we can pick those up ad hoc wherever we want to and support teams on a more one-off basis, which I do think we've seen a lot more of, and I think we're going to continue to see, especially from the PlayStation side. But that is a big bummer for teams like this that put out a great game with Concrete Genie, just not a game that's for everybody, but not every game needs to be for everybody.
I was shocked isn't the right word, but in terms of where PlayStation seemed to be trending and moving and what they became over the years, I was taken aback when they were like, "Oh, we're starting this new studio with the Entwined people, or we're doing, you know, we're gonna pick up Pixel Opus or make Pixel Opus," because again, Entwined was very much like, "Hey, these people are just out of college; they just made this project. Now it's this thing," and blah blah blah. I loved Concrete Genie and talked a lot about it, but even the fact that it was hanging around, Pixel Opus was hanging around, I was like, "This is very much one of these things is not like the other." When you look at what PlayStation was doing,
yeah.
And as I've often talked about in more recent times, of like worrying about Dreams, which, you know, last time we had a big conversation of like, hey man, I'm worried about Dreams. They closed it down like the next day. where an artsy studio like a Media Molecule or a Pixel Opus fits into this. And Media Molecule making bigger games than Pixel Opus was, but it is really, I think, evident to what you're talking about. What is PlayStation Studio? Studios? What is a first-party title for PlayStation? It is a big AAA game, often single-player, often story, right? Not all the time. You have your polyphonies, and you have all these other things happening. You have VR stuff, yada, yada, yada. But for the majority of it, that's what it is. And if anything, you'd say, well, it's big, it's AAA. Pixel Opus wasn't going to be that. And I, you know, there was a lot of rumors with the, or, you know, guessing with the Sony animation stuff, right? Of like, oh, maybe it's an Into the Spider-Verse game, or maybe it's this, or maybe it's one of these other IPs they're working on. That all could have been true, but it would have been a smaller experience all around. And really what I think as PlayStation solidifies is they talk about what their strategic outlook is and what they define the brand as. You look at stuff like that and you very clearly speak to, we could partner with people for this. We could, if we really wanted to make, and I'm just throwing this out there, I don't think this is what they're, let's make a 2D side-scrolling Sly Cooper. You don't need to own a studio to do that. You can go find a very talented indie studio to make that game. And again, I think as you look at stuff with like how Marvel Games has gone and found people like Insomniac, right? Or gone off and, you know, worked with other people. I was going to say, I tried to make it work, but it didn't. How Tron went and found Mike Biffle, right? Mm. Of like, hey, you're an independent dev who makes great games and IP would really help you, right? I think PlayStation could easily do that too and go find, oh, you know, somebody who, like the people who made Blood Roots, like that's a great game. It didn't sell really well. It didn't set the world on fire, but there's something there. What if you did X, Y, and Z for us kind of thing? Mm-hmm. I think that is the more modern 2023 approach rather than have these people under your roof trying to make this artistic game and figure it out on their own. And in the same breath, like, don't get me wrong, the stability of a job and a paycheck and health benefits and yada, yada, all paramount and amazing, right? I do think that the people who made Pixel Opus are going to have no problem either starting another studio, landing at another studio. And I would think if you went the indie route with it, it's going to maybe even fit them better. Of like, I'm sure when you go in to pitch Herman a whole bunch of different things at PlayStation, there's a lot of weird artsy stuff that either didn't make it to that section or would get cut at that section, right? And didn't make it there because they're like, well, this isn't a PlayStation game, right? This is a smaller thing.
Do you think that with PlayStation Studios, with everything you just said, which I totally agree with, being much bigger things and like taking the IP, and at this point, whether it's a licensed IP like a Spider-Man or owned and operated IP like a God of War, Horizon, things like that, Ghosts, right? Like PlayStation is now swimming in IP. You look at the Xbox side of things, and even some of their bigger devs have done some smaller projects recently, like with Pentiment being an example, right? And I'm sure I can come up with others, but I'm blanking right now. But
what, just some smaller experiences?
The Xbox making games that they're not normally...
I mean, I put Grounded out there. I know
every Grounded's a great one.
When Grounded's I bring up great. Grounded, people get all mad at me all the time because I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's like, no.
No, that's actually a perfect example. I don't see PlayStation doing that. And like, have they? Am I missing something here? Like,
let the first parties go and make something weird?
Yeah.
Recently, no, is what I would say. I mean, you could sit, make the argument of like an Astrobot from Team Asobi or something like that. But like, even then, like, there was Japan Studio, which they closed, right? Where it was like they were making a whole bunch of weird shit. That's where like they're partnering for Patapons and things like that that weren't happening anymore.
I'm talking more about like the big guys we're talking about, like the Obsidian making the games on the Xbox.
No, I think that is a very uniquely Xbox thing right now, which again, I think is, hey, the big thing's taking a while. What if we made littler things or we have smaller projects that we did with smaller teams while they went and did that? PlayStation's is not doing that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because like when they do it, it is like them taking a swing at a giant, big new thing that's totally different than what they've traditionally done. And I think that that's going to continue to be the case with them as they continue to move. I mean, even looking at Bluepoint, who they now own, if they put out, let's say that their original content or whatever they're putting out is a new game, brand new game. Sure. I expect it to be a big game. I don't think it's going to be a small game.
No.
You know?
No.
And I think that, yes, that is what PlayStation Studios is doing at this point. And, like, I think that we're going to get a lot less of the Destruction All-Stars type games.
Yeah.
Even, right?
Yeah.
Which is very different than Concrete Genie, but I do think in kind of a similar tier. It is so interesting to see the different strategies between PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo and, like, how there are successes found in each way, but with those success comes having to cut teams that have done great work.
Which leads us to our question written in by the one, the only Nathan Showcat, who wrote in at kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you. Good, if you wanted to. With Pixel Opus sadly shuttering in early June and PlayStation's PR response about the closure, do you think that Media Molecule will soon share the same fate, or will they have the chance to make another game after Dreams? I worry that a look at all the PlayStation Studio devs makes it seem like Pixel Opus and Media Molecule stand out most negatively in comparison to games other devs have made in recent years. As it seems, PlayStation has moved toward a future with fewer games that don't match the huge blockbuster mold.
Yeah, man. I mean, when you start looking at the strategic portfolio of Sony, it kind of adds up where, like, the fewer bigger titles, it's like at a certain point, it's not fewer. It's like almost monthly, you know, coming out with like big hits, whether it's owned and operated or things like every game we've been talking about today, the timed exclusives. But then there's also, I saw someone in the chat bringing up Kena, Bridge of Spirits, yeah. Which it's like those are the type of games like that I think is similar to the Concrete Genie level. And I think more partnerships like that, I can imagine happening in the future as well. What's the Ember Labs, I think, was the team behind that one. Yeah. Like, I feel like a couple years ago, I would have been like, oh, I think PlayStation's going to acquire them. With this news and stuff, it's like, yeah, probably not. But they probably will still have an exclusive. Their next game probably will be exclusive. And I think that that's where we might see more of this type of thing happen.
You're already seeing it happen, right? We just had Chia. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You could toss Forspoken in there. But I mean, Forspoken's from Square. It was a bigger thing. And then you get off in you get off into what you were talking about with the game that's for some reason totally gone that I just had. I can picture it. Kena. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I think that is the future for PlayStation of making those kind of deals and supporting it that way. Back to Nathan's question. Do you worry about Media Molecule? Of course. I've been saying this for a long time that I don't think Media Molecule or Dreams fit the profile. Clearly, Dreams doesn't, and that's why they're moving them off of it. And so I worry like it keeps me awake at night, but in terms of this conversation, Media Molecule, I would imagine, is somewhere probably where Pixel Opus is, where Pixel Opus was working on something. They were doing something with Sony Pictures Animation, we assume, you know, based on the rumors and the reports. And so that gestated long enough, went far enough where PlayStation looked at it and was like, this just isn't part of the portfolio or isn't good or whatever the hell it would have been, but just doesn't fit with what PlayStation is right now. And, you know, Media Molecule could easily be on Double Secret Probation the exact same way of like, cool, this is your idea and this is your thing, but if you go a year and a half into production on this and we get to a point where you're playing it's not good, then why are we keeping you around?
Yeah. You know, I just want to say this is obviously unfortunate for a million different reasons, but like I think it's extra unfortunate in a time right now where we've seen so many layoff stories, so many acquisitions, so many closings and stuff. This is one of the rare studios shutting down, especially of this level of prominence. And like, I know not the biggest things ever, but like, I can't, off the top of my mind, think of a team even this big being closed down in recent times.
I know there's one. Hold on. Fuck chat. Who am I thinking of?
And even if there is, it's like there just aren't many. This is a rare occurrence.
Yeah.
But please, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Let me know where we're at with it. But it's like this just seems like a bigger deal and an unfortunate, I think, starting of a trend that is not going to end. I do think there's going to be a lot more of these. For whoever even is left.
You think for Xbox too?
I mean, Xbox is a whole can of worms that like, we always talk about the dominoes and legitimately it's like at some point they need to start falling if they haven't already started falling. And then things need to be looked at from a strategic point of view of what do we do? How do we make this work? I don't want to say salvage because it's not that. Like there's so much success at Xbox, even though it's very easy to look at them and like, see it as a failure, but like the money's coming in and things are working in their strategy, which is Game Pass. So for me, it's more like looking at it and with having to deal with all the CMA stuff and the acquisition of Activision and all that holding them back, I feel like Xbox's hands are tied in being able to make the right decisions in order to run the business optimally at this point in time.
Sure.
And I think that at a certain point, they're going to have to, things are going to change one way or another. They either acquire them or they don't. And then it's going to be like, cool, what do we do? I think at that point, I think a lot of the studios are done.
We shall see, ladies and gentlemen. Number three on the Roper Report, Jedi Survivors UK launch sales were up over 30% on Fallen Order. This is Andy Robinson at VGC. Star Wars Jedi Survivors launch sales were over 30% greater than its predecessor, Fallen Order, in the UK. That's according to new digital sales data shared by journalist Christopher Dring, which reveals that Survivor's digital performance accounted for almost double what Fallen Order's managed back in 2019. This is expected, since digital adoption has accelerated significantly since Fallen Order was released back in 2019. However, it should be noted that Survivor retailed for $10 more than its predecessor. Previously, physical sales data showed that Survivor was the second biggest launch of the year in the UK. However, its box sales were 35% lower than what its predecessor managed. 82% of Survivor's physical launch sales were on PlayStation 5, while 18% were on Xbox, which is likely due to the popularity of digital on the latter. Surprise you? Excite you? Make you go woo 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 woo.
Somewhere in between with all of it. I guess I'm not surprised by this. I like seeing video games thrive. I like seeing the business boom and all of that. It's good. And especially for games that I love, I think Jedi Survivor, I've been playing it all weekend, and good Lord, Greg, I love this game. The more I play, the deeper I get in. I'm just like, this is what I love about Star Wars. This is what I love about video games all together in one thing. All the tech stuff fucking sucks, and I really, really hate it, and I wish it wasn't part of this narrative, and it is, and it's impossible to take it out. And that is very fucking unfortunate, because this game is so special, and I feel like it is so such a raw deal that this level of ambition is going to be met with criticism and going to be met with people being like ah, well, it's assumptions that it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
And whose fault is that? It's somebody's, and I'm mad at that person, Greg Miller, okay?
Fair enough.
But that's the thing is, like, it excites me that big licensed games can be this good.
Yeah, of course.
And can push games forward as much as they can. It feels so good to play. Like, Cal, the way he moves, the momentum of it all, the parkour of it all, like, there's so much success in this fucking game. And it's just marred. Marred with naughty, naughty, naughty little technical issues, Greg.
Sure. Little annoying things.
Yeah, so that's many. The biggest thing. So many.
For me, running through, you know, and working on my Platinum last week before I switched back over to Horizon to work on the spoiler cast stuff for this week, it was like, fast traveling back to base. I won't name things or whatever, right? And then you go to the door to get upstairs, and like you get there, and the door like takes forever to open because it's loading everything on the other side. I'm like, all right, this fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's those little things, but whatever. I'm going off a tangent here. I just think this is a great game. I'm happy it's doing well. I don't like that games can release at the state that they release, and I also don't have a solution for it.
I'm glad you admit it.
Those are my
people. People have been looking at it forever for you to have it.
I know.
I was hoping you talked just a little bit.
Sorry, everybody.
Remember, of course, if you're like Tim and you're playing through Star Wars Jedi Survivor, Barrett and myself, we did a whole spoiler cast about it. That'll be ready whenever you're ready. Whenever you beat it, it'll be there for you. The easiest way to get to it is to go to kindoffunny.com/Jedi. I'm making it right now. Survivor. And that'll take you right to that Gamescast. Of course, you can get the podcast on your Gamescast feed whenever you want it. But like I said, kindoffunny.com/Jedi Survivor will take you right there.
I hated not being a part of this, Greg.
Well, you should play games, you know? Instead, you go home, you watch Fast and Furious. You take your dogs, I don't know, these weird, I don't know, some competition where this drag queen was announcing them and they were coming out doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
They're great.
Stay home and play
games. We were on a Ferris wheel this weekend.
I saw that. Golden Gate Park.
Pups. Yeah, never went on that. It was cool.
Yeah.
They freaking loved it, which I did not expect.
Really?
Weird.
Oh, yeah, dude. Moose was living his best life.
I like how that
100 feet in the air.
I like how that showed up in Golden Gate one day, and then they're just like, "Yeah, now it stays here.
It's here."
Well, remember they were building to it to launch it in April 2020.
Yeah,
and then of course everything went to shit, so it stopped. And then they finished it way into the pandemic, and then it was like, "We got to make our money back on this thing."
A real quick aside here: Golden Gate Park is freaking hilarious on a nice day these days. On the weekend, so Sundays, Golden Gate Park, really big park in San Francisco, kind of like divides the city.
I was gonna say, like, if you don't know what it is, I think Central Park, like, it's not a big park. It's a humongous.
It's one of the biggest, like, state parks, and they like keep it up and stuff. It's beautiful, ton of stuff going on a nice day, which is rare in San Francisco. On every Sunday, they like close off the streets so you can just like ride bikes or roller skate or like bring your dogs and all that stuff, like, no cars. And they've always done that. And now it's like there's like activations everywhere, and it's like there's just there's a yoga crew over here, but then there's like roller skating, like disco dancing people with music playing, and it's just like there's just so much stuff going on that I was just like, people need to go home. People need to freaking understand,
Tim,
that they can go home, Greg.
Tim, no, I resent the roller skate. I know exactly what you're talking about with the dancing roller skaters. I resent them because back in the day, that was like the best place to skateboard and just like do like flat, because it's such a smooth surface over there.
Yeah.
And then all these fucking rollerbladers came in and said, "This is ours now."
Now, let me tell you guys something.
It's fucked up.
All right. They're roller skating in this little circle. Billie Jean by Michael Jackson's playing. Sure, they're moonwalking
sure
and shit.
Sure it is.
And then this one girl, okay? Yep. Roller skating backwards, doing the thing where she crosses her legs like this as she goes. Looks real fucking cool.
Yeah, of course.
Busts out a yo-yo. Starts doing yo-yo tricks. Well, dude, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
See, I had the opposite where we were walking home from the grocery store, you know, pushing Ben in the stroller. Jen's got Cole on a leash. And we came to the bottom of a steep enough hill. And we're walking up it. And these two kids had decided at the top of the hill that they were going to learn to roller skate on this hill.
Of course.
And so they were coming down. The boy's got no helmet on. He's smashing into parking meters. And, like, he's, like, out of control coming down. And the girl's doing, like, the, you know, the pizza slice coming in and coming out. But she was actually in control. She was wearing a helmet. Her brother's grabbing random ass car mirrors and stuff. Cole started freaking out at these kids losing it.
We've all been there.
Whole production. I think we're doing it on like popular streets. You know, we did it like we're going to take our bumps in private. You know what I mean? On the little streets. Then we're going to look awesome when we go downtown and we look rad rollerblading, you know?
No, when you're from SF, you just get in where you fit in.
Worth pointing out, the PlayStation blog also put up the rundown of April's top downloads. Jedi was on top of the list in the US and the EU as well, followed in both territories by Dead Island 2. So there you go. Congratulations. Number four and final on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen. Nintendo Live 2023 starts September 1st in Seattle, and the tickets are free. This is Richard Lawler over at The Verge. Nintendo's next big live event will take place in Seattle this September, and today the company revealed dates and more details about Nintendo Live 2023. The event will run from September 1st through September 4th at the Seattle Convention Center and is intended to be an all-ages celebration of Nintendo's games as just one of the many gaming companies planning events this summer in the shadow of E3 2023's cancellation. Nintendo Live 2023 is going to be a free event, and there are two ways to get tickets. You can register in a randomly selected drawing on Nintendo's website at some point between May 31st and June 22nd, where you could get a one-day pass for a group of up to six people. Kids under the age of six don't need their own ticket, but the person registering must be a U.S. resident who is over 18 and has a Nintendo account. It's taking place alongside the PAX West event, which will require separate tickets. However, if you're attending PAX West, there's a separate drawing you can enter to receive a free ticket, which will allow one person to access the Nintendo event. According to Nintendo's FAQ, there's no waitlist for tickets, and walk-up tickets will not be available. So anyone hoping to attend will need to register via one of these drawings, or maybe earn their way in via competitive tournaments playing Mario Kart 8 or Splatoon 3. This shit sounds like Willy Wonka. The site isn't specific about what kind of spectacles attendees could expect or how it'll top last year's Animal Crossing plus Splatoon live concert. Nintendo says it isn't announcing any new products at the event, but confirmed a live stage, photo ops with iconic characters, opportunities to play Switch games, and an on-site store with exclusive merchandise.
Yeah, cool. Love that they're doing this just for people to be able to experience it because, like, unlike, I mean, you know what? I shouldn't even say that. There's something special about Nintendo that it's fun to be around other people that love it. It enhances the experience. And I was about to say that, like, that's unique to them. It's not. PSX is an example that, like, hey, like, people that love PlayStation, you put them together, there's a magic unlike any other, you know? Mm-hmm. But I feel like Nintendo's been able to kind of, like, really, like, sing with that recently with the Mario movie, with Super Nintendo World. It's like-minded people that love this stuff, put them together, they're going to have a fun time. So I love this for the kids. I love this for, like, the families. I love this for PAX East or PAX West goers that are going to be able to see it and maybe do both or whatever it is. It enhances the overall weekend experience. The thing that bums me out a little bit is here, Nintendo says it's not announcing any new products. That was a big question when they first announced this a couple weeks ago of, like, are they going to turn this into a new space world or turn this into, like, a PSX for Nintendo type thing? Seems like the answer is no. But that does make me question, Greg, where's the big Nintendo Direct? We've been talking all episode about PlayStation having to gear up for its next wave. Tears of the Kingdom comes out next week. Then what, everybody? And then what?
Not nothing. Next week,
you
Tim.
Play that forever. This week.
This week.
This week.
This week.
Wow. I'm perplexed. Wow. Not by this at all. Nintendo, whatever. There's an activation. They're not announcing new games. Go there, pose with your warp pipe, and have some fun. It's more that people are insulting the honor of Kinda Funny. And not me, but you and Barrett. And I think the X-Cast in general, unless I'm misunderstanding, this is how upset I am, incensed I am, that I saw go by on the Twitch chat. We have a big screen over there. And I was like, wait a second. So I went to the Twitch dashboard where I could go in and scroll back to see what I'm missing here, right? This is the exchange I see here. PJ Julian talking to Rayman 1090. Sadly, the coverage of Hi-Fi Rush just passed by here, and it has Shinji Mikami seal of approval to boost it. Then Rayman goes, yeah, Kinda Funny just ignored the game, sadly. Kind of funny. Ignores Hi-Fi Rush.
Watch our content. Then
watch our game of the year.
What
so
the fuck
far
are you talking about? How many thumbnails is Hi-Fi Rush? It's two back to back on the XCast. It's the Games Cast. They talk about it all the time.
I'm pretty sure
it's all we had to talk about for like a couple weeks.
If I remember correctly, it is our running game of the year so far, officially.
Most likely. Like, Jedi Survivor is probably the second.
But I mean, like, when we did our games cast, like, for Q1, it was, like, our, like, unanimous with besides Greg, I think, like, so far, this is where we're at.
Yeah. No, we don't talk about it enough, Tim. We passed by it. We ignored it.
This
it's
is
a
the
game
same,
we all hated.
This is the same fucking shit as when somebody comes 45 minutes into the episode and goes, you guys, you're wrong. You didn't talk about this, and it was the number one news story. A lot of you need Jesus. Go sort your fucking life out.
Stay home, everybody. Don't roller skate in the parks. Jesus. Yo-yoing. Babies.
I'd expect this from PC fans, not Xbox fans.
You're right. Hey!
Tim, I'm furious.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for him. You know, just fucking read the thing.
Mom and Grop Shop's official list upcoming software. You know where to go.
Sure, I guess.
Fuck these kids, man. Why do I even do the show for?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Why you all owe 10 gifted subs.
We can stop. It's 11 a.m.
No, out today. Darkest Dungeon 2 on PC. Cook Serve Forever Early Access on PC. And Poosh! XL. PC, Switch, and mobile. That, of course, is Adam's game. Ding Dong XL, Adam.
Dude, I saw him tweeting about it today. It looks awesome.
It does
same
look
style as Ding Dong XL, but it's more of like a endless
mover,
moving
not
up
runner.
But it looks great. I've spent many hours playing Ding Dong XL.
100%. The only problem is that by supporting that, you support Gary Whitta. Because you know, Gary,
problem.
Adam and Gary Whitta are thick as thieves these days. They're always doing shows and stuff. Drives me crazy. New dates for you. Hello, goodbye. Oh, I'm sorry. Hello, good boy. Explorers the Eternal on PC and Nintendo Switch on May 25th. And Terracotta comes to Switch on May 25th as well. Deals of the day for you today is the last chance to claim the free games from your PlayStation Plus collection.
Real quick, Greg Rayman in the chat, who I knew is a great, great audience member, says, Greg, if you're really mad, I was being sarcastic. Just so you know, I watched the review.
I apologize. I take back some of it. Thank you very much. It doesn't translate. And in Rayman, you're here every day. You know, there's a bunch of kids who got kicked by mules and come in here and start typing. You know
what
I mean?
He has no arms. He has no legs. He's Rayman.
We asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go. Thekindoffunny.com/ you're wrong.
Uh-oh.
And I just fucking hate people.
Who do you hate
that
now?
Like, the point is so simple, and they neo-matrix to get around it.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to read it. Times Hero, you're stupid. Then I'm going to go on to this one. KDG says, were you thinking about Square Enix Montreal closing? I wasn't KDG, but that's cool. I think I was probably just hung up on Sony Japan when they closed Japan studios. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we come to you with the nerdy news you need to know about. If you like that, you should be part of the show, of course, by going to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you keep the mics and lights on. You could get, of course, a whole bunch of exclusive content, including Greg Ways each and every day. You could watch us record the Kinda Funny podcast live this afternoon. I digress, though. Like I said, we're here every day. So let's talk about your hosts for the week. Tuesday, it's Tim and GameSpot's Lucy James.
Let's go.
Wednesday, it's Blessing and Greg. Thursday, it's Blessing and Tim. Friday, it is Tim and Blessing. If you are watching live right now with us, we're about to do that Super Chat post show where we use your YouTube Super Chats to go and talk for 30 more minutes about whatever is going on. You can watch it live anytime. Of course, you can get it later on YouTube only. That's how we do it. That's how it is. So it is written. So it is done. Remember, of course, you can get this show for free at youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Podcast services around the globe, no matter where you get the show. Thank you for your support. Consider going to Patreon. And no, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.